Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Berkshire Conference call. My name is Evan Moult. I'm a field coordinator for the John Birch Society, and I'm very glad to have on the phone with me Christian Gomez, who is working out of our headquarters in Appleton, Wisconsin. I'm in South Carolina, and so this is how the John Birch Society works. We have people all over the place, and then we have a lot of people at our headquarters. And that's the great part about working with an organization that's trying to stop the New World Order, or this quest for a one world government, is that you got to have intelligent people all over the place that are willing to dig into this and take action. And so what I'm going to do for those of you, if you're watching this on video right now, I'm going to share with you the article that Christian wrote. It's called One Man's Fight Against the Global Trade Order. And this is about a senator who's passed away. But he fought this global strategy to entangle us into agreements like the European Union, basically. And he fought it and he exposed it. And I don't know what I like best about him. Maybe the fact that he fought it, or that he's from Kansas like I am, because Kansas is my home country. So I'm Kansan, and he's Kansan as well. So anyways, if there's any listeners from Kansas, I guess you should be proud that this man that we're going to talk about, George Wilson Malone, was from Kansas. But without further ado, Christian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on here with you and all the other members of the John Birch Society that are listening in.
Christian, you did an excellent job creating a YouTube video that we used to expose the USMCA. And I was on a conference call with you a few days ago, and I was just really impressed by it. And I thought, wow, who typed your notes on that? And you said, well, I didn't have notes. You just really just talked about it from your heart. And that just goes to show how well studied you've been on the USMCA, which in recent days has been very frustrating for members of the John Birch Society, because it looks like President Trump is going to go ahead and sign the USMCA agreement, which is very heartbreaking to those of us that know what it's all about. Most people that participate in politics, especially Republican Party politics or even Democrat Party politics, they have no clue what's really taking place right now. They think it's a great trade deal because Nancy Pelosi likes it and Donald Trump's likes it, so it must be great. Can you explain, to us your awakening, Christian, to these globalist trade deals and why they aren't about free trade, but they're really about something else?
My awakening about these globalist trade deals. Well, I'll try to bring answer that succinctly. So I got involved in the whole liberty movement with the Ron Paul campaign back in 2007. Before that, I was in high school and college, and I was brainwashed into thinking the two-party system was the solution, and I was gung-ho for George W. Bush and Rudy Giuliani initially. That's how far I've come from where I was as a
Wow.
high school student, early college student. But then I heard Ron Paul talking in the debates. In the first debate he gave, I thought he was a total nutcase, and I wanted to disprove everything he said. So I started reading some books and going on Google and reading about the Federal Reserve, which I hadn't even heard of before. Goes to show you how the quality of New York City's public education, where I came from, and the college I went to at Seton Hall in New Jersey. I didn't even know what the Federal Reserve was. But I started researching this stuff. I'm like, wait, Ron Paul is right. And I made a total 180 from a hardcore Giuliani guy, because I had devotion to him as my former mayor in 9/11, that kind of stuff, to being a Ron Paul staunch advocate, going to rallies in Philadelphia and New York and book signings in Manhattan with Ron Paul. So that's the guy. And then after the Ron Paul campaign ended, I got disappointed with the options of McCain and Obama, especially McCain, because he was a hardcore neocon in his rhetoric. He sounded even worse than Obama in rhetoric in 2008. So I was really disappointed, and I was looking for an organization that I could connect with that had the same viewpoint as Ron Paul. And there was a video that I later found out that Larry Greenlee from the office at JBS had put up of Robert Welch, and it was like forerunner to Ron Paul, something like it had Ron Paul in the name, and it caught my interest. Didn't even know who this Robert Welch guy was, and I watched the video. I was like, whoa, this really is like Ron Paul, talking about the Federal Reserve, talking about the United Nations, world government, and the recording was made in the 70s, but it was actually something that, Robert Welch had said way back in the 50s. So Robert Welch was really on top of this, and I'm like, I want to know about more about Robert Welch, and that's where I found out about the John Birch Society, so I joined. Anyway, fast forward to more modern times, from 10 years ago to now or so, when Obama was president, he was pushing for that disastrous TPP deal. You know, I was more focused on the con and more focused on other things at JBS, other projects. But when the TPP really came up, it really caught my intrigue how these trade agreements are used to build world government. So I started reading a lot of our older materials by Bill Jasper and other writers at the New American. And I started following Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama at the time, who was really exposing the U.S., I'm sorry, the TPP. And what he said about the TPP really caught my attention, especially from the Senate floor, when he talked about what he had seen in that secret room where the TPP was originally housed before they made it public, about the TPP commission. And it just really opened my mind that these trade agreements are not about free trade, because I would say I'm a free trader. I believe we should have open commerce with other countries without government involvement. When you start reading the TPP, and this is true of the USMCA and NAFTA, you find a lot of government regulation, you find a lot of government control. So instead of free trade, even though that's what they call it, it's really regulated trade. And so when I started looking at the USMCA's text when it was released on October 1st, 2018, there were so many passages that were word for word copied of the same stuff I had seen written in the TPP, whole chapters. It looked like it was literally copy and pasted. That when I was first reading the USMCA's initial text, I thought I had accidentally clicked on the TPP because it was so identical. And it was the USMCA, and I was really shocked by that. So I wrote the first article on October 1st, 2018, for the New American about that, and subsequently followed with more articles, both online and in print, and I shared that information with in the office around with Art Thompson and other people. And so we knew that the USMCA, Trump's and Lighthizer's big NAFTA rewrite, wasn't really much of a rewrite as much as it was a copy and paste of, hey, let's update, quote unquote, update NAFTA with TPP language. That's really what it was. And then Richard Haass, the guy in charge of the Council on Foreign Relations, he confirmed it, except he liked it because of that. So he confirmed that in a tweet the following day when he was praising the USMCA. And Haass is someone, if you look at his Twitter page, he's constantly attacking Trump. So he's not a Trump guy, typically, but he loves the USMCA because it's right up his alley. Then I was reading a list of books that Robert Welch recommended that members read. This was way back when JBS got first started in 1958 and 59 and 1960, those first 3 years of JBS history. And on a list of books was a book he recommended all members read called Mainline by Senator George W. Malone, U.S. Senator from the state of Nevada, but born in Kansas, like Evan mentioned. So I read this book. Originally published as a hardcover book. It's a really short book, super, super short, like maybe 200 or so pages, if I'm remembering, maybe less. It's a short book. Anyone can read it like in a few days or even a day if you've got a whole 3 day. And I read this book, and this senator had amazing insight. He saw that the trade agreements back starting in 1934 in the beginning of the FDR presidency, more or less, that they were taking away the powers from Congress to the executive branch so the executive branch could foster better trade relations in the name of free trade and wouldn't be hindered by Congress. Supposedly that was the excuse kind of given. And from that moment onward, future subsequent presidents after Franklin Roosevelt, like Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower, because the book kind of ends in the Eisenhower era, were assuming more powers from Congress through the Trade Agreements Act of 1934. And then they were relegating that power over to international authorities with the creation of GATT, which was meant to create an international trade organization. Originally, it was going to be called the ITO, International Trade Organization. Fortunately, the Senate, at the end of World War II, even though they accepted the United Nations, they accepted GATT, they did not accept the idea of the ITO. They thought that was going too far forward, that would lead them, that was just too much to do at once. Let's just slow this process of globalization a little down, so they rejected that. But eventually, Newt Gingrich gave it to us, along with President Bill Clinton, in the form of the World Trade Organization. It was the same idea. It just came about, you know, decades later in the 1990s. But in the book, Senator Malone, he uses the phrase New World Order. And this is way back in 1958, 57 when the book was written. He uses the phrase New World Order at least once, but multiple times he talks about how the objective of all these trade agreements that are being promoted by the executive branch, that the objective is a one world socialistic government. He says that numerous times throughout the book. And I did some further research where I went to newspaper archives, I think on newspaper.com, newspaperarchive.com, I got a membership briefly. And I started typing in his name and reading lots of articles from the local Nevada newspapers from the 1950s and 40s. And this guy was considered kind of an outlier in the U.S. Senate. He was like Goldwater and McCarthy, one of the guys that the mainstream media hated because he was really exposing the whole conspiracy, the New World Order at the time, and through trade. So he was actually closest in the U.S. Senate with Senator McCarthy. There was a lot of times there were a lot of no votes in the Senate, and oftentimes it would either be McCarthy and Malone together. And, you know, McCarthy was acquainted with Robert Welch before the JBS was founded. And of course, Senator McCarthy passed away before JBS was created. But McCarthy and Malone were really close. So it's no surprise that somehow in some point in history, Robert Welch came across Malone's book, was obviously following him. I don't know if Welch ever met Malone personally, but came across his book and recommended that members read it. And the book had kind of been forgotten because we hadn't really talked about Malone in the mid to late 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. There's hardly any mentions of him in the bulletin. There's an occasional mention of a quote of him, but not too much until I read the book and thought, this needs to be brought forth to light because this guy is saying everything that John Birch Society has been saying, but he was saying it decades before, and Robert Welch wanted our members to read this book, and we've forgotten about it. So I did a history article 2 years ago in The New American, which was more of a book review than it was a history article, although I included biographical information about him that's not in his book and some quotes from the Senate floor that aren't in the book. But most of the article about Senator Malone I wrote is from the book. So if you get the book, you get the full story more or less. And the article, like Evan mentioned, was called One Man's Fight Against the Global Trade Order, about Senator George Malone.
Yeah, and I've actually got on the, if you're watching this by video right now, you can see the book is on Amazon. It's titled Mainline. And this is the one that George Wilson Malone wrote, and it's only $3.25. And if you have Prime, then that's free shipping. For $3.25, you can get this book. And it just arrived at my house 2 days ago, and I plan to read it real soon. It's not a very long book. It's only about 94 pages, it looks like. So,
okay.
Why is it called Mainline?
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head why he called it Mainline. I'm not certain if I covered that in the article or not.
It's okay.
I don't recall why.
I thought it needs the book needs a better cover, but for $3, what you can't really complain. And anyways, the title Mainline doesn't really grab me as a great title for a book based upon what he's fighting. But maybe it does. I haven't read the book yet, so I'm not aware of what the title means. My first awakening to this is I was at an event with CEO Art Thompson, where he was speaking in Columbia, South Carolina about these fake free trade deals. And anyways, he was presenting his new book at the time. It was called International Merger. Now I think it's in its fourth or fifth printing, maybe 10th printing. I don't know. I know they keep having to send it to the printer to get, you know, more of the books. But I read that book right after the event, and my mind was blown, Christian, because I kept thinking they're gonna cut off the Federal Reserve Bank, or you know they're gonna starve us, and that's how they're gonna get us to succumb to this one world government. But then after listening to Art speak and reading the book, I thought, wow, they can really make us give in to this one world government in a good economy, because they do it through these fake free trade deals, and they just slowly, layer by layer, take away our sovereignty. And as long as people are, have jobs and they're able to feed their families, they just it's like what we're seeing with the USMCA. Most Trump supporters cannot believe that Trump would push anything that's bad, But and they're saying the economy is better than ever. The stock market is higher than ever right now. But what do you think? Do you see it the way I see it, Christian, or do you see it differently?
I see it as you see it. Most Americans do think that anything Trump does is good, and a lot of what he does actually is very good. A lot of what he does is positive. But with this trade agreement thing, and I think this is true of every president, well, maybe every president in recent history, at least in the last 40, 50 years. They don't really know what's going on in every area of even the executive branch. So that's why they have other people who they delegate responsibilities, but they have a cabinet, obviously. But the U.S. Trade Representative, which is a position that got started with the John F. Kennedy administration, that was the first time there was ever a trade representative. Before that, it was other people took care of that within the executive branch. And before that, the executive branch wasn't really doing that anyway. But anyway, I would say Robert Lighthizer is the key guy who's really responsible for why the USMCA is as disastrous as it has been. When President Trump talks about the USMCA, he doesn't sound like he knows what's actually in there. So I give the benefit of the doubt that he's being that's that a fast one is being pulled on him on this issue. Because he has put so much confidence in Lighthizer, maybe he's heard a lot of good things about him being knowledgeable and skilled in negotiating. So he trusts him blindly. And what Lighthizer gave is pretty much what Michael Froman, his predecessor, Obama's trade rep, gave the U.S. in the form of trying to promote the TPP. In fact, there was a Democrat U.S. senator, I forget his name right now. He's one of the members of the Senate Finance Committee, not a very well-known senator, but I was watching the Senate hearing under Chairman Senator Grassley when they passed the USMCA out of their committee before it went to the Senate floor. And one of the Democrats said that when Lighthizer was brought before the committee for Senate confirmation, that he recommended to Lighthizer, you should put on your speed dial Michael Froman, Obama's trade rep, because he already negotiated the TPP, which included Mexico and Canada. And they've done so much work on that. You should really glean from him and his work. And apparently, he claimed that that Lighthizer and Froman developed a friendship after that, if it didn't happen already, but they were constantly speaking on the phone together. So it could, so even though Michael Froman was Obama's trade rep and not part of the Trump administration, it seems like he played a role in influencing Lighthizer as well. And of course, Lighthizer is a member himself of the Council on Foreign Relations, as was Froman, Michael Froman. And the Council on Foreign Relations is dedicated to the objective of establishing a one-world government. Ever since we rejected entering the League of Nations, the CFR was established in 1921-22 to bring us into a world government body. And the UN doesn't satisfy their taste for world government. They want something that's even more powerful than the United Nations, that has more lawmaking power and enforcement capabilities. So Lighthizer, being a CFR member, and part of an organization dedicated to world government, he's using this trade agreement, just like all the trade agreements that have come before in other parts of the world, like in Europe and in Africa and in Asia and South America, to create an economic union or bloc for North America, even though we have NAFTA already. But NAFTA it pales in comparison to the kind of integration that already exists with like the European Union or ASEAN in Asia. So they're trying to bring NAFTA, integrate it more so into something that could be used to merge with a global economic union or world government. In fact, even the former Mexican president, Enrique Peña Nieto, who was the president up until the day the USMCA was signed, because the next day the next guy got sworn in, Obrador. But anyway, Peña Nieto, he got to sign the USMCA on behalf of Mexico. And in his remarks, he primarily talked about how this will solidify the economic integration of the continent, how this would bring about the integration of North America. He was really praising that. And Peña Nieto sounded just like all his predecessors, President Calderon of Mexico and President Vicente Fox before Calderon, they all envisioned unifying North America into like a European Union style arrangement. There's many interviews of Fox, even on YouTube, talking about how he had a goal of a North American Union, and even bringing in South America through Bush and Fox's FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which the John Birch Society helped to stop that through our education efforts back in 2003. That would have included, like I said, North, Central, and South America into like a giant Western Hemisphere Union. And Fox, in one interview, admitted that the long-term goal of that was to have a currency for the entire North, Central, and South America, like the euro. So these Mexican presidents, they're globalists. They have in at least the last three or four, including the current one. In his speech just last month, he talked about how the USMCA fulfills how it's part of the objective of unifying our continent. He used the word unifying and unity a lot. And his predecessor, Enrique Peña Nieto, used the word integration a lot, but both words are synonymous. So that's where these people are coming from. And so not only has Trump have Selena and Lighthizer as his trade rep, but you have the same Mexican government that worked on TPP working on the USMCA with Enrique Peña Nieto initially, and the Canadian government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland, they worked on the TPP with Obama. So, President Trump was only one small player in the whole USMCA. It was all Obama-era people in all walks of life working on this thing. So there's no way this trade agreement was doomed from the start, considering who was working on it.
You know, I'm so disappointed in what's going on in the White House due to this trade deal. I mean, I Congressman Mick Mulvaney, when he was a congressman, he was a speaker at one of our John Birch Society executive dinners, the one in Columbia about 4 years ago. And at that dinner, I handed him the book Shadows of Power, which is the book that we used to use to explain to people, you know, how dangerous the Council on Foreign Relations is. I don't know if he read it, but I told him a lot about the book.
Oh, yeah, I did.
When we were sitting there at the dinner. Yeah. And so why has Mick Mulvaney not, you know, grabbed Donald Trump, you know, and said, hey, this trade deal is being led by a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Believe me, this is not a good, you know, this cannot be good. Anyways.
No, that's a fantastic question. I don't know the answer because, since Mick Mulvaney has a copy of that book that you gave him, all he has to do is go to the back of that book and the list of CFR members. There's Lighthizer's name. Yeah. So I don't know why Mick Mulvaney hasn't tried. Maybe he has tried to say something, or maybe he's too afraid. I have no idea.
You know, I have realized out in the field how spineless some of our congressmen are, the ones that are in the Republican Party. I will say we were at an event with Ralph Norman. He's a congressman that replaced Mick Mulvaney, and he was doing a tour of his area, you know, getting to know his constituents better. And in the Q&A session, we just let him hear it about the USMCA. We reminded him that he's helping to seal the deal for the New World Order. And it got to the point, there's so many people that question him on it, that it got to be uncomfortable for him. And he finally just said, here's my cell phone number, call me and send me whatever you got on this. And I did. And it just, you know, he never stood up against it. In fact, the very next weekend, or I think he was out there in, he was with Congressman Jeff Duncan and Congressman William Timmons promoting the USMCA deal at a Vice President Mike Pence event in Anderson, mm-hmm. South Carolina, at some business there that wanted the USMCA. So I just, you know, but we would have stopped it had more people been willing to be courageous and take action against it. But I think it has a lot to do with the fact that most people just can't wrap their head around the Council on Foreign Relations and what it's really all about. But so people that are learning about this, what can they do? What would you encourage them to do to take action and to learn more? I know we have this book, Mainline by George Wilson Malone. It's not in the John Birch Society bookstore, but it is on Amazon. You can order it for $3.25 right now. But what do you recommend they do to take action, especially for those that are not members of the John Birch Society that may just be hearing this for the first time?
Sure. There's a few things that we could be doing and should be doing. One, I recommend that everyone listening here get the following three books. Mainlined, like Evan mentioned, it. I guess it's 94 pages or so. So it's a super easy read. I recommend everyone get that book and read it because it's so short and it's a U.S. senator saying all this stuff. It's pretty incredible. The book speaks for itself, really. And if you have, and because the book is so cheap on Amazon, at least the current vendor that's selling it on Amazon is selling it so cheap, less than $5. Now, I guess $3 and change. You know, check that book out for how it fluctuates on price. But when it's as cheap as it is now, get a bunch of those and try to pass those if you can, if you have the money to do so. Buy a few extra copies and give them out to your member of Congress if you're able to meet them, or even a candidate running for a 4-4 Congress or Senate that has that you think could win. You know, give them a copy of it too and ask them to please read it and try to follow up with them, because that might open their minds on this whole issue and they might listen to the words of a fellow former U.S. senator. They might take that a bit more seriously, perhaps, hopefully, if they're not listening to our materials, because we've produced a lot of detailed information, but if they're not reading that, then we have to try to produce other information as well. So get a copy of that book. Also, Art Thompson's two books, Shadows of the Deep State, and also the book by Art Thompson about international merger, the trade deals. Again, these are short books. The biggest book there is probably Art's Shadows of the Deep State book. But that one will certainly give someone a lot of the background history on the CFR to provide a better understanding on that. So getting those books and increasing awareness about the CFR and these trade agreements is an excellent start. Trying to get others to read those books, especially Malone's book and Art's smaller international merger book, because those are easy to read. You can pass them out. They're cheap to purchase, not expensive at all, not like a $20 or $30 book. And also, President Trump is expected to sign the USMCA this Wednesday, but the John Birch Society on our website, on our federal alerts, we have a current alert that you could send to the president requesting that he not sign it. I think we should try to, you know, even though he's probably going to sign it, let him know that there's a large swab of us in the electorate that says, no, this is bad because of these reasons. So I think it's important that we send that to him. Hopefully, with all this pressure against the USMCA, this may make the president start to look at whatever Lighthizer gives him in the form of future trade agreements that they've got down the pipeline, like with the US-Japan, US-China deal, and US-European Union deal, all these deals that they're currently working on right now. And also, I would recommend that people, of course, check the newamerican.com out and the John Birch Society website regularly. Actually, I would recommend the New American website a bit more frequently because that's updated on an almost daily basis with news articles, and we are covering the trade agreements there as well. So check that out to be on top of the latest information. Everything that goes in the magazine, everything that goes on the website doesn't always get into the print. But there's a lot more articles about the USMCA than what were printed in the magazine. So check that out as well. Now our main objective will try to be, assuming the president does sign it and assuming the Canadian Parliament ratifies the USMCA on their part later this month, as is expected according to media reports from Canada, assuming that happens, then our next goal would be to get us out of USMCA like we've had a Get Us Out campaign for NAFTA and the United Nations. Also, later this year, there could be a vote in Congress about our continued membership in the World Trade Organization. So because that could come up later this year, I think learning about, reading up on the World Trade Organization and trying to inform our members of Congress of why they need to get out of the WTO is key. In fact, all these trade agreements, NAFTA, USMCA, TPP, US, Europe, whatever, even other countries' trade deals with other countries, they all harken back to the WTO and to GATT. So if we, getting out of the WTO is of the utmost priority, because if we can get out of the WTO, then we would be free to produce classical style trade treaties with other countries that are simply focused on commerce and not on building international bilateral or binational or trinational committees and commissions. So those are some things that we should be doing and should be looking for this year.
Well, thank you so much, Christian, for joining us. We'd like to have you on another conference call in the future. You're just such a great resource on this topic and the topic of the CONCON and other topics as well. And you get the benefit of hanging around the CEO and other employees that work at the John Birch Society headquarters. That's something I don't get the benefit of doing on a daily basis. So I do get a little jealous of what you get to be part of when I'm here in South Carolina and you're working shoulder and shoulder.
Well, it comes at a price in terms of all the snow.
That's true. But
lots
you do
of snow in Appleton, Wisconsin. It gets a little tiring. So you got the warm weather down there.
Well, it's been great having you on. To all on this call, we're going to move into the Q&A session, so I'm going to stop the recording. Thanks so much for joining this. If you are listening to this on the Berkshire podcast, you know, please listen to more episodes. Make sure to share this one. If you're watching this on my YouTube channel, you know, please subscribe and just keep your eye out for more. The number one way we can stop this is to get more people in the John Birch Society to join. Just go to jbs.org and click on the membership tab, and you'll be able to join as a member and get involved. And then you'll get a call from somebody like me, especially if you're in South Carolina, Georgia, or North Carolina. You'll probably get a call from me, and I'll be talking to you soon if you do join. So anyways, thanks for listening. For those watching, thanks for watching, and we'll move on to the Q&A session. So this recording is going to be ending soon.